Let's go to the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is double accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and repeat at the end of today's meeting that since we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Genesis 17. Genesis 17. We're looking at the man in Christ. Let's just put a few dots and full stops and cross our T's and dot our I's this morning. Genesis 17, and go all the way to verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, and the Almighty God walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceedingly. Right? Yeah. I saw just in relation to the questions of, you know, you were answering this, but I saw a post somewhere. Yes, I saw a post somewhere. Someone's birthday was recent. And they went to the scripture where it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Right? And they changed the name there from Noah and put their name there. Do you understand? That's an example of one of the things I was talking about. When you out, regardless of what is happening. Now, you know the interesting thing? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. It's not even as much about God doing something for Noah. Right now, I've talked that before. Eyes there will speak about knowledge, revelation. Noah found grace in the eyes of God means in Noah's understanding of God, he saw God as gracious. Do you understand? So Noah saw God as gracious. But what you're trying to pray for is you want grace. You want to experience. This year is a year of accelerated grace. Any name you call it. Right, and you pick a scripture. So similar to this, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Genesis 17, verse 2. Right? You know, you can pick a scripture and say, God has said he will multiply thee exceedingly. Are we together? After all, that's where we got to the conclusion of Abraham's blessings and mine. Are we together? And what we're looking for in Abraham's blessing is material. But Abraham's blessing as taught in the Bible has nothing to do with material. So imagine somebody who wears the scripture and the scripture tells and uses that scripture to pray. Lord, today, this year, I receive the blessings of Abraham. Not imagine people. People do it. Do you understand? What you've done is just, you remember when I talked about exegesis and eisegesis?
Yeah.
Yeah, exegesis is when you allow the scripture to interpret itself. Eisegesis is putting your thoughts, your knowledge, your preconceived notion into the Bible. So the Bible says, I will make thee great. Joshua, I will make thee great. I want to get, no, the covenant is not between you and God. It's Abraham and God. Are we together? Right? Can you pray for greatness? Yes, now. Abi? Eh? This year you say you'll be great. Can you pray for it? You can pray for it now. But don't go and put it in. You know, that's fine. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee, I'll multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called what? Abraham, right? But thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. My family wanted to change our son's name from Yusuf. I've told you that story before, right? Oh, you've not heard before. Yeah, my father had a point, right? Based on scriptures and based on interpretation and explanation of scriptures, right? You know, and he almost even finalized it, but we just felt like it doesn't suit us. Joshua Abraham. Esther Abraham. Those are two strong personalities. Esther in the Bible is strong. Joshua is strong. You now had Abraham behind the scene. Right? Joseph Abraham. Yeah? You know, but I can't remember what happened, but it must have been the Lord. But I'm grateful my name is still Joshua Yusuf. I want to get that. One of the scriptures we run to is that he said, have you heard someone say, when you encounter God, God will change your name? Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't only Abraham's name that was changed in the Bible.
Yeah.
I want to get that. Wasn't just only Abraham, even Jacob, Israel. You see, for when you meet God, your name will change. If you don't like your name, fine. Why did my dad want to change our name? Yusuf is Islamic. He's Muslim. Do you understand? So it can be, let me disassociate. Because my father is from the chief imam's home. Let me disassociate myself from that lineage, that family. Right? Can you want to disassociate yourself without using scriptures? Yes. But don't try to go and look for Abraham, Israel. Because, okay, what was David's former name? Did he not encounter God? Do you understand? How many men will you go through scriptures that encountered God? Do you understand? And their names did not change in quotes. So the question now becomes, there's a lot of theology around Abraham. Do you understand? You need to understand the theology behind it. Are we together? Right? I'm not just wrong with surface level knowledge and just say, oh, when you encounter God, your name changes. No. Are we together? So, I'll make the exceeding fruitful, right? Everything I touch this year will be fruitful. Hey, you can say that without quoting Genesis 17. Are we together? Right? And I'll make nations of thee, right? And kings shall come out of thee. Remember a scripture? I remember we used to talk that scripture recently. The seed, signs and wonders. The children, I and the children the Lord has given unto me are for what? Can you declare that over your child? Yes. Can you want your child to be a miracle to his age, to his generation, to his, yes, you can. But I'm saying when you go back to that scripture and how it is used, and how the author of Hebrews now quotes it and not quotes it to say or teaches it in reference, you realize that it's much more about your physical children. All together. Genesis 1, we're going to go there, right? And God blessed man and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, can you want to have more children? Yes, now. Can you want to have 300 children? It's your choice, right? But when you go to Genesis 1, 27, it says, for the Lord blessed man and said, be fruitful and multiply. That is not giving birth to physical children. So if you say, for the Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, right? Like, he has made me to be fruitful and made me to multiply. My children will be fruitful, my children will multiply. I'm going to have to say a question. How many children did the person that was said to, or the first man, how many children did they have? In our world, how many children do we want to have? A lot of us want to have one child, two children. Are we together? And as the age progresses, we start having more people, start getting used to it, more people who don't want to have children at all. As the age progresses, that's just facts. You're starting seeing it already. So if you now want to superimpose Genesis 1:27 on that reality, you are just doing eisegesis. But can you pray that your children, can you pray for your fruitfulness? Oh, yes. Yeah? Are there scriptures, for instance, someone who is barren and looking for a child? Yes, you can pray for it. You can use the examples of miracles that have happened to serve as a guide of possibility for you. But those examples are not necessarily, let me say it differently. In those examples, they say to you that it can be possible. But it's not exactly God directly using that to communicate that fact to you. But underneath that fact is the fact that it's possible. So when you see the woman, for instance, who gave birth to Hannah? All together. We had the story of Hannah. We saw how she moved, how she progressed, and all those kind of things. It's an example to see that there's a possibility. It's possible. It's a situation you can use to. So if somebody says, the God that did it for Hannah, do it for me. That's correct. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? You see somebody that was blaming the Bible and said, oh, and God, Jesus looked at him and said, get up and be healed, right? Yeah, the God that did it for him, do it for me. Are we together? Yeah, so he says, I will make the exceeding fruitful and I will make nations of thee and kings shall come out of thee and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, right, after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Verse 8 now says, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art strangers, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So one of the things we've said over the last few weeks is the fact that God made a promise to Abraham. And the promise to Abraham had a lot to do regarding a seed. Are we together? Had a lot to do regarding a seed, right? And the work of that seed in the earth. Now, when in Genesis 28, to establish Jacob having a similar revelation that is similar to what was made, or promise that was made to Abraham. So Jacob will be sleeping in Genesis 28, right? And the promise is, and behold, the Lord, verse 13, stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it unto thy seed, right? So to thee will I give it unto thy seed. Look at verse 14. And thy seed shall be as the what? Are we here? Let's read verse 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the what? The earth be blessed. Are we together? Right? And behold, I am with thee, I will keep thee in all places with thy voice, and I will bring thee again into this land. Look at Jacob now woke up from his sleep. So what was happening to Jacob? What was happening to Jacob? What was happening to Jacob now? Genesis 28. It was what? It was dreaming. Are we together? Right? What can you say he saw? No. What's the name of what was happening to him? What did he see? Okay, vision. Are we together? Right? Yeah? So he was sleeping. right? And he saw a vision, right? And that vision had the details of what God wants to do or wanted to do in the earth. Are we together, right? And it says, "In thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the sea, to the east, to the north, and to the south." Right? Thy seed. Listen carefully. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Now, last week we looked at something about lines falling in pleasant places. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What did you say about that fact? Right, that lines falling in pleasant places is God's method or God's desire, really, or it's an execution of God's plan to what get the entire earth to be saved. Isaiah 66, right? We said the question was, where is my resting place? The heaven is my what? Throne, and the earth my footstool, right? Where would thou build for me, right? Where would thou build for me to stay, right? He now says that what? Where is my place or the place of my rest? Now, if you look carefully, you will find out that from Jacob's narrative, there was a vision about a seed. Now, let me show you a few things. Go to John. Before you get to John, go to 2 Samuel. Go to 2 Samuel. Let's get to John, 2 Samuel 7. Are you 2 Samuel 7?
Yeah.
Look at verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, right? Who is being spoken to here? David, is that correct?
David, yes, sir.
Right? I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. And I will what? Establish his kingdom. All together. So, is there a seed that should be set up?
Yes.
Are we here?
Yes.
Is there a seed that should be set up?
Yes.
Right? And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for what?
For my name.
And I will establish the throne of his kingdom for how long?
Forever.
Now, remember I've taught you in Bible interpretation, once you start saying forever, eternal, everlasting, who is doing it? God. Are we together? So, is there a seed whose throne needs to be established or kingdom established forever?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. So, has God from time wanted the kingdom of men to be his kingdom?
Yes, sir.
Are we together? Right? Let them say something in passing. Do you understand that God's plan from time has been that the earth will fill with men whose ideology will be fixed on him?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to teach on something, right? And it's going to be a series either this year or next year. What I plan to do with that series is actually to help our kids, right? But it is to first help the parents, right? You know, questions around, you know, homosexuality, questions around, some of us don't know how to teach from the Bible. Are we here? Yeah? If your child will come and ask you, I have a classmate, last week he was a boy, now he's a girl. Say, don't worry, that's all you. You're saying you're a man in Christ. No, there's a way to teach it in the Bible. We're going to look at that. We're also going to look at, you know, why is there so much evil on the earth? Do you understand? And wars, particularly wars, you know, things around cultural differences, cultural biases, skin color, and they are all things we can teach from the Bible. One of them is wars. You know, you find out in the scriptures that the instruction to fight wars with the physical hand and physical equipment, is not God that initiated it. Altogether. So the people or the people of Israel, particularly, they were instructed to fight wars. But the wars they were fighting were similar to the wars of other nations. But the war that God asked them to fight was the war of the mind. Altogether. Right? For wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? It is. Yeah? It was in high places. People of God. Yeah? I was together. Right? You know, the scripture says, right, the pulling down of strongholds in the mind. That's the war we are to fight. And how do we fight it? By preaching the message of God's peace. But what will happen? The Israelites will say, no, we want a king. Because first of all, one of the instructions that God would have given them is that they will not be like other nations. Right? They will not have kings like other nations. They got a point, they said, no, we want a king like other nations. Eventually, God will say, well, okay, you will. So God tolerated. So when you see lots of rumors and wars and everything in scriptures, they are not God's ideal plan. They are tolerated. God will accept it in his plan. Are we together? But in the real sense, he wants them to fight a war because there's a lot of idolatry. Right, so those ideologies were things we had to fight. How? By preaching the message of the gospel. That's why you see a man called Melchizedek, king of Salem. I want to get that. Salem means what? Peace. I want to get that. Right, the king of Salem. He's a king, but did he fight wars? No. So that's why they now use that king of Salem, Melchizedek, as a man, as an example after Jesus in Hebrews. Because the war of God is a war of peace. Are you following me today? Right, the war of God is a war of peace. So in the real sense, Melchizedek is an example of a kingly priest. Are we here? Mm-hmm. A kingly priest. The priest is almost the only who just render service. God's plan from time was that Adam and Eve in the garden will render service. Yeah, we did that in salvation series. God, let me say it one more time. God's plan from time is that Adam and Eve would, or Adam as a man particularly, you know, would render service. Right? You know, a lot of you know the scripture of dress and keep the garden. Right? To dress and keep the garden just really means to do the work of a priest. That's the work of service. Right, so a kingly priest is somebody who will rule in the affairs of men, but from a service point of view, as a servant. I want to get that, as a servant. Right, so one of the things you will now find out is that God wanted man wanted his kingdom to rule in this earth, but it wasn't going to be done by coercion. Is that a word? Or kind of force people? Why? Because God has given man free will. Altogether. So what we do is we're supposed to go where we meet men who are in darkness. We're supposed to. So when you go out to preach, you are fighting a war to possess land. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that lies can fall for you in. Okay. Yeah. Right. So you are fighting a war, but how do you fight a war? You fight the war without knife. Altogether.
Yes,
yeah. And that's how God wanted the entire earth to be His. So when the Bible now says that He shall build a house for Him and establish the throne of His kingdom forever. God will only do that through the message that. So, what is your bullet?
The gospel.
The gospel. All together. What is your shield?
The word of God.
Gospel.
What?
Shield.
Okay. Let's use Ephesians 6. When you look at Ephesians 6, take out now the breastplate. What is the next verse saying?
Praying.
Praying. Are we together? And so what is your shield?
Prayer.
You should have said it to me. What is your shield? What is your weapon? Any name you call it, just know it is prayer and the word. You understand? Right? If you say prayer is the one that shields the bullet from coming for you. But the truth is that's why we give ourselves to prayer. Because the war we fight is a war. That, you know, the strongest war. Have you not found out that? Some people say, I saw a video of a lady. She said, she rather her husband beat her. And I hope you know. See, don't make it that sound strange. I hope you know it's something that is becoming normal. When people begin to say that, I prefer, but when I misbehave, let my husband just deaf me. You know what they call deaf? That kind of sound, when they give you, your ear will not be working again. Right? You know, and that's another lady. Why do you prefer? She said, when they slap you, the pain goes instantly. Not instantly, at least after a while. But words that they say to you will ring for long. Now, people have their different theology. I'm just saying, for example, what I saw. But I'm trying to say that, do you understand that it might look like words with knives are harder than words with words? But it's not entirely true. Do you understand what I just said?
Yes, sir.
It might look like wars, fights with knife is a more advanced or, you know, whatever it is, than. Well, I'm not saying I'm tolerating. You should go and now be fighting with knife. Or no, that's not what I'm saying. But let me say that. Don't you think about the impact of words and what words can do over people, such that you are. Words is what will take a man from this high street of hell to heaven. Words, and what you are doing is you are snatching from the bondage of sin and death. Words. So that's how God wanted the earth to be dominated. With words, the message of his gospel, the message of his peace, the message of his reign, so to say, right? So when you now see that men are fighting, in the real sense, it is men that wanted it for themselves. No, I can't be doing peace. Let's not do peace. You even now trace it back to scriptures in Genesis. I'm going to do that in that series, like I said. It's for our children particularly, but you know, before you teach your children, at least you shouldn't know it. altogether. Yeah, before you teach your children, you need to first know. So I'm going to wrap it in a series, maybe this year or next year, right? You will not find out where the history of war and the history of, you know, equipment, how do people start creating equipment, you know. You have heard of the name Nimrod? Bible scholars. You don't know Nimrod. It's only David and Saul. It's in the Bible. Look at this Quran. It's in the Bible. Which one am I using again to preach? Right? You know, we're going to trace it back and now start seeing where those conversations started going. So when you start seeing kings, right, and seeing a man like David going to war, will God tolerate it? Yes. Was that God's best? Was that God's plan? No. Are we together? Right? So God will, you know, remember I used the word about bias a few weeks ago, about God's bias for Israel.
Yes,
yeah. You see, in that bias, the truth is that, you know, Israel are like, well, they were like other nations.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. They were like other nations. I mean, they got to a point they were doing idolatry. They got to a point they didn't even believe. All together. But in that, God still wanted them to be a pilot nation to show the entire world what he wants to do on the earth. I was together, right? But at one point, you say, oh, we want to rule in this kind of way. So I'm trying to say that when you talk about the kingdom of God, the gospel of God's kingdom, right, there's a message that is a message that we use to combat people. I was together. Bible says that. It says, he shall build me a house. Who is the he? Is the seed, right? And I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I was together. Look at verse 16. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Are we together? According to all those words, according to the vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now, this is David. Was there a child that was a child of David that built a palace? What you call a temple? What's his name?
Solomon.
Okay, Solomon. Are we together? Solomon was a man. Now, you know, it's very easy for you to assume or think that it's Solomon that will build that temple that will last forever. That's why Jesus will come and go to John 2. Go to John 2. Go to John 2. John chapter 2. Look at verse 13. John 2, 13. And the Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus was at Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew them. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And said unto them, right? You know, if you look through verse 15 very well. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and sheep and the sold sheep. Sorry, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the table and said, right, take these, I said unto them that sold those, take these things hence, make not my father's house a what? A house of merchandise. All together, a house of merchandise, right? And his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of my father's house consumed it. Now, one of the things you know, how many of you believe, or how many of you grew up believing that in this story, Jesus took Koboko? You know what they call Koboko?
Yes, sir.
Koboko, king, right? How many of us believe that Jesus took king and started flogging people like that? We still have that there, right? Is that not correct?
Yes,
he whipped people now. Is that not what they're saying? Right? That he carried king and started whipping. Why are you selling the house of God? But think about it. You know, nothing in how Jesus looked shows that he was a muscular man. Mm-hmm. I went together. It wasn't even someone they had even tolerated or accepted. You know, so one of the things you will study, some scholars say this, you know, which I tend to agree with a little, right? I tend to agree with actually, right? That the use of whip, when you look at, the, you know, the, and that story there, is actually an illustration to speak about a hard teaching. Are we together? Right? A hard teaching. That's why when you now see when they quoted from scriptures, or when they remembered what was written in scriptures, it says the zeal of thy father's house has eaten. Why am I saying this? Because there are people, for instance, who flog their members using this scripture. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Yes? There are people who flog their members using this scripture. And what they will call it is what? Zeal. Are we together? Zeal. I saw a video. I think my mom has said it to me. It was a video of a man. I can't remember what was happening, but it was really flogging the members. And
with belt.
Okay. I, that was a different version. This one I thought was king. Well, you know, okay. So people do all kinds of things. And I can tell you, they can explain for the Bible. Altogether. You can use the Bible to explain, even Jesus. Yeah. But the truth is that what you should get from there is an illustration for teaching, a hard form of teaching. Altogether. So it comes with a lot of rebuke, a lot of scolding. Altogether. Right? If you look through verse 18. Then answered the Jesus said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Now look at verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy what? Destroy this temple, and in three days I will raise it up. Look at what happened. What was their response? And they said, I said the Jew, 40 and 6 years was this temple in what? In, are we here?
Yes, sir.
40 and 6 years was this temple in building, and will thou raise it up in 3 days? So, when he said destroy this temple, what came to your mind?
A physical temple.
Who built that temple? Solomon. Are we together?
Yes,
Solomon built that temple. So it means that when Jesus was making that statement, he was around the temple. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Right? So, when he will say destroy this temple, he will not say destroy this temple. Are we together? Mm-hmm. That's why the first response they had was that it took 46 years, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
To get this edifice. Are we together? So, was there a promise about the seed of David building a temple?
Yes.
Did the seed of David, I'm talking about seed as per Solomon, did he build a temple?
Yes.
Yes. Is that temple to speak about something?
Yes.
It's to speak about something else.
Yeah.
What is that temple going to speak about?
Forever temple.
And where will the forever temple of God be?
Christ in us.
No conclusion. This is that it doesn't go to scripture for us and just be throwing us BJD, just be missing Peter, just be
controlling.
This is the end of the street. Okay, spirit that is leading us. Okay, now it makes sense. Spirit is leading us to those. You open the book and let me say it. How did we get to tell what we not that
for,
we
hope? Eh?
We said last week, where does God want to build his temple?
In us.
On the earth.
On the earth. In our hearts.
Are we together? So we'll be dwelling places in the temple. So what is God's plan to make the earth his resting place?
Yes.
What is the temple? Where he will rest now.
Yeah.
Are we together? So the earth is supposed to be his resting place. That is his temple. So let me ask you again. Was Solomon's temple to point your attention to something?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. What is that something? Okay. But I just gave you the answer. That will be where?
On earth.
On the earth. Let's go back to last week. Was God using Israel to teach humanity something?
Yes.
What does he want to do with Israel?
Make the whole earth.
Make the whole earth. He's Israel.
Yes.
Is that correct? What is Israel? His temple.
Oh.
Is that his resting place?
Yes.
All together. So I'm just giving a different name now. Yeah? So the temple is Israel, right? And the Israel that we spoke about is the what? Is the earth, or so there will be a physical people that will point your attention to what? So, what God is doing in the earth, people of God. Did you go through your notice, mommy?
Yes.
Because I can clearly see he went through it properly. He's not there, nothing in the notes. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
It's not my yes, sir. Follow. Let's go back again last week. Israel will be. You know, in project management, there's something called a pilot case, right? A pilot case is when you have a template to just test, right? So if we said, if this thing works here, it should work here.
Okay.
You hear that? Or since this will work here, it will work here. Yeah, that's what we call a pilot, right? So when you think, you can see it more from a tech point of view, actually, not more project management. For project managers, we're handling what we call the rolling out of a pilot and rolling out of a real life situation. So one of the things you see is that Israel will be like a pilot. So when you see Israel, and Israel as a nation, right, which people think is a nation that has the fear of God in their heart, what is God using Israel to say? That the entire earth should be a people that have the fear of God in their hearts. Are we together? So if Solomon will build a physical temple, what is that temple to show?
Israel.
Israel? Which of the Israels? Okay, they're beautiful. Okay. So what will Solomon's temple show? Israel large, Israel small.
Pilot Israel.
Is that Israel small?
Yes.
Yeah? So to show you what will happen, show you what? The entire earth being God's Israel or God's resting place or God's temple. Are you with me? Right? So look at verse 19. Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up. I'll raise it up. Now look at what it said. 46 years it took us to build this. What are you saying? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore was risen from the what happened, his disciples remember that he said unto them, and they believed the what? The scriptures, the words which Jesus had said. So Jesus will be in the temple and he will say, destroy this temple, right? Because he wants the entire earth to be his body. All together. Right? So destroy this. Oh, you're getting it right? You get it right? So he wants the entire earth to be his body. He will say, destroy this body. Altogether, in destroying this body, the entire it is with the goal that the entire earth will become his body. That is his Israel. Yeah. Are we following? Don't yes, that, okay? Sir. Yeah. So if you go to John 12. So the plan is that Jesus will be in one place, then Jesus will be in plenty of places. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So Jesus on the cross and him being killed and resurrecting, is that a pilot?
Yes, sir.
For lack of better examples, yeah? That's a pilot, right? It's so that every other one will come in. So that means, so that Jesus will be in every other one. So Jesus will be, you know, one example to be seen, and eventually he will be in every one of us by his spirit, which is why we now say Matthew 28, right? Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I commanded, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So Jesus will be first seen as Jesus, the Son of God, the person who will be killed, the temple that will be destroyed, but it is so that everywhere will be his temple. You following that, right?
Yes, sir.
Following that, right? Look at John 12. John 12, 24. Look at verse 23. And Jesus answered them and saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, very, very, I say unto thee, except a what? A corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. It what? It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much more fruit. Look at Mark 4. Matthew, Mark 4. Go back to Mark 4. Except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Would that teach about Jesus and his death?
Yes, sir.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah, follow. Mark 4:3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
There went out a sower to sow. What does a sower sow?
Seed.
Okay, beautiful. Look at the sower. And it came to pass, as he sowed what? Seed. Some fell by the wayside. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Now, go on to verse 9. See how Jesus ends that parable. He says, and he said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? Now look at verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. What exactly were you saying in that parable that you were going on and on about? Verse 11. And Jesus said unto them, unto you it is what? Given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you something about the word mystery. The word there mystery in the Greek is the word mysterion. I'll spell it for you. M-U-S-T-E-R-O-N. R-I-O-N, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, Musterion, right? Musterion, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, Musterion, right? That's the word mystery, Musterion. Now, that word is not as much speaking about something that is far-fetched. You know how when somebody asks you, imagine somebody appears from this place and appears outside. What will you call it? It's mysterious. That means it's beyond explanation. You see, but the Bible use of the word mysterion is actually not beyond explanation, but it's actually to the degree of explanation. So it is that which needs to be explained. Altogether. That which needs to be explained. So mystery will be speaking about that which needs. It has an explanation, so it needs to be explained. So what it says is that unto you, it is given to know the mysteries. What is he trying to say? is that this explanation is not something everybody will pick, everybody will get, everybody will understand, everybody will make sense of. Right? It is given unto you the mission of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all of these things are done in what?
Parables.
In parables. So a parable needs explanation, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay? Yeah? He now says in verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. The sower soweth the word. The sower. So the sower from verse 3. What is the sower supposed to sow?
The word.
The word. Or what is the sower sowing?
The word.
Okay. What does a sower sow?
Seed.
What is this sower sowing?
The word.
So what is the word?
Seed.
Oh, look at Luke 8:11. Luke 8:11. Don't forget, we're looking at seed from Genesis 17. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
We're looking at seed from Genesis 28. Okay. Look at Luke 11. Luke 8:11. Sorry. Luke 8. The same parable. Look at verse 5. Luke 8:5. And the sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Is that the same parable?
Yeah.
Now look at verse 8. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit. And when he had said these things, he cried. Right? He that had ears, let him hear. And disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? Look at verse 10. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Unto you. And he said, rather, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Look at verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word. So what does a sower sow?
The word of God.
What does a sower sow?
Seed.
What does the sower sow?
Word.
Beautiful. So the seed that our sower in this context sows is the word. Are we together? Right? Don't forget, in that seed shall be. Are we together? In that seed shall be many families blessed. Is that correct? In that seed shall there be an everlasting covenant established forever.
Yes,
in that seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Is that correct?
Yes,
and that same thing we now see in Mark 4. It says, except the corn of wheat. What is corn of wheat trying to represent?
A seed.
Yes. Falls to the ground and what?
Dies.
It abides alone. So when we say that, so if we talk about this parable, about Jesus, and the root says, and the word, you know, the word of God, the word of God. Now there's something that we really need to teach. The dichotomy between the word as a person and the word as a teacher, as a doctrine. Mm-hmm. I work together. Very, very important. But what you should pick from this attempt, from this narrative, is that Jesus will use a parable to communicate certain facts about a seed. So who is the one planting the seed? Okay, who is the sower? Who is the sower? Wait. The sower will sow the seed. We said the seed is what?
The word.
Who's the sower?
The sower is not the
God and us.
Okay, so you've gone to we as the seed, as the ones that are sowing
seed.
Lives falling into the group, preaching the gospel. I say in, I did not put it in context. I say in this parable, who is the one sowing this seed?
God.
And where did you enter? My face was looking, that's the truth. When you give an answer and I'm looking that it's not correct, don't think I'm saying it is wrong. That's what makes you, that's before you know you go and say another one. You start looking for the answer that is correct. That means you are doing trial and error. Know what you want to start with and stay with it. So it says the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Are we together? Right? So, can we see that the entire world can be seen as an agricultural farm?
Mm-hmm.
Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Right? So, God, in the real sense, wants to sow his seed, that when that seed dies, it brings forth what? Much more. So, what was God doing in Genesis 1? Farming. He was sowing the seed. And let there be light, and there was light. Truth is, the light that we're speaking about, the seed that needs to appear so that there will be many more lights.
Mm-hmm.
All together. So, if we now go back to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All together. Now, you see, the word there, created. Let's look at that word. We've looked at that in salvation. So look at that word, created. I remember in 2013 or thereabout, I was invited to come and preach. And I heard one preacher say something about There's a word created and made. Yes, I said there's a disparity between created and made. Created is the word bara. You remember that teaching? Okay. Created is the word bara, and made is the word, one word that, and I just said, created means to create, to bring something into existence from nothing. Right? Then make, or to make, means to bring something to existence from something. That's my doctrine. Right? But you see, the word they created, actually, that word they created, is actually a word that speaks about putting in place. Amen? That word they created is actually a word that means to put in place or to arrange. Are we together? To arrange, to put in place. Are we together? Right? Genesis chapter 1. Right? To put in place. To put in place. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, heaven and earth. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What is that used to speak about from last week's teaching? Temple. Amen. Remember that teaching? Isaiah 60 what? 66. Right? Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Right? We said that that's supposed to be the resting place. Are we together? So when you go to Genesis chapter 1, and in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, the question is, should your mind be on the literal physical beginning or something more than that, or the two of them?
Depends on the context you're using it.
Oh my God. Something more than that.
In the beginning, God created. Do you also realize that John had an encounter of the beginning? Go to John 1. He had a narrative regarding the beginning. Go to John 1. I'll tell you why I'm always, I want you all to think when I'm asking questions. I'll just show you something now. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. John 1. Don't lose Genesis, though. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. What did Luke 8 tell you about the Word? The Word is the seed. So in the beginning was the Word. We can say in the beginning was the seed. All right, together, right? Now listen carefully. The same was in the beginning with God. Are we together? Right? And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let's look at verse 4, 1, 2, 3, go. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, 1, 2, 3, go. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness. So can we say in the beginning there is the Word? Genesis 1. There is the seed. And in him there is what? Light. Life. Then look at verse 4 again. In him was life, and the life was the light. Are you saying God said, let there be light?
Yes.
So who should you see from Genesis 1?
Jesus.
So in Genesis 1, to point your attention to the human creation of the world, or Jesus in the picture, or both of them?
Jesus in the
picture. Let me tell you why it's important to answer this question. Because what somebody can get from this conclusion is that pastor said God did not create heaven and earth. Are you with me? Is that what did I say anything like that? No. So what is heaven to speak about in Genesis 1? The unseen, the supernatural. Is it the sky?
No,
it's not the sky. I want to get that. The supernatural world, the unseen reality, and the earth is to speak about what? Physical, that which is seen. What is the word that qualifies heaven and earth? Temple. Is that a resting place?
Yes.
So from Genesis 1 verse 1, what is Genesis 1 verse 1 pointing to? That what did they say the word is create? To arrange.
To put in place.
Is that correct? Yeah. To rearrange. So what is God doing from the opening of the scripture? Is that to put order?
Yes.
Are we together? To put order. Why is there need for order? Because you will see that in Genesis 1, come back to Genesis 1. There was what? Chaos. The earth was without form. So where is God going to put his order?
On the earth.
In the midst of what? In the midst of where?
In the midst of chaos.
In the midst of
darkness.
In the midst of what? Chaos. You said it already now. You are trying to find that word. In the midst of what? Chaos. Do you remember what I said last week? Where was Jesus standing? When he said, when he said, I will build my church. We said that that was like a domain of lots of shrines, idol worship. What did I say when I said that? I said that God is going to build his church in the midst of what? Darkness. Is that correct? Chaos. Emptiness. Is that correct? So, is that what has been happening as God's plan from Genesis 1? So, what is Genesis chapter 1 saying? In the beginning of the heaven and earth, there was chaos. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, God moved upon, and the Spirit of God, what? Moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. Go to verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the help yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was what? So, now, when you go to Genesis chapter 1 and read through, yes, it's beautiful to understand the creation story and everything. Yeah, you must ensure that your theology does not take into the fact that it's not God that created the entire world. Right, but much more than that is something that is happening. Because Moses will be writing as a parable. But there will be physical conversations or storylines that are used to communicate those parables. Go to verse 26, for instance. And God, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our what? Image. Right? You know, listen carefully. You remember what I said on Wednesday, right? A word can mean one thing. And in that one thing has several meanings. Let me say this, several implications and applications. Let me say again. You know, someone was asking me a question. She was like, she didn't know that Adam was not the name of the first man. I was like, who's teaching you that? What do you mean by Adam is not the name of the first man? So because Adam in Genesis chapter 5 says, a man, Adam, which is mankind. Look at Genesis 5 now. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made him. Now look at verse 1, 2, 3, go. Male and female created he them, and he blessed them, and he called their name Adam. You see, listen. Is that in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
What did he call male and female?
Adam.
Right? And what the person was running with, I don't know wherever the person heard it from, said that, no, Adam was not the name of the first man. Adam is the name for mankind. You see, that's when you are being baked half a sagi. Is it what?
My version says mankind.
No, and it's correct. There's a, I'm allowing you to see that both male and female is called mankind, which is what you call Adam in our Bible. I'm saying somebody said that Adam is not the name of the first man. Adam just really means mankind. That's not true. Do you understand? So Adam is first known as the first man and also known
as mankind.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say, don't pick one truth. Remember I said it on Wednesday. Yeah. Don't pick a truth that has A and B. Right? And run with B. And make everybody that runs with A look stupid. No, it's A and B. You still also realize that the same Adam being spoken about will now point attention to who? Christ. Because Paul will now tell you in Ephesians chapter 5. Are we together? Speaking about Christ and the church. But just say, no, Adam is a word for mankind. No, it is a word for mankind. Also the name. I would get that. Don't miss that point. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, where we really are, verse 26, right? And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our what? Likeness. Look at that carefully. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Is that scorpion? Is that cockroach? Is that python?
Is that lizard?
Yes. Is that lizard? He says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Think about it. Why will God, who is trying to put order in the earth, his goal is to control the animal. His goal. Let's create man in our own image so they can be controlling sea, animal, shark. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Right? So it means that the use of seed, the use of animals, the use of fowl of the air is not as much to speak about literature. That's why the Bible says, I give you authority to trample upon what? Serpent and scorpion. You are scared of cockroach. If you have serpent, scorpion, if serpent walks into your room, right? Let me not use your room before you say you're not sleeping again. If you're in your office and one of your neighbors tells you that python entered their room, and they came to call you to kill, how many of you will go there and go and kill? How many of you? You just say, I said, I'm praying for you. Serpent, I'm praying for you. How many Christians can kill cockroach? Cockroach that want to slap like this is on your head. Just want to slap it like this with the broom and be book. When you now look for it, it's on your head. Right? Lizard enter your house. You know, there's something called war gecko. We don't see it in this part of the world. War gecko is actually part of the tenants in the house. How they enter, we don't know. But you just that they will just be jumping from back of wardrobe door to another wardrobe door. And that's natural. But you see, when Bible says I give you authority over serpent and scorpion, trouble over serpent and scorpion, your mind did not go to literal snake and lion. So why is your mind going to literal shark in Genesis 1:26? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Look at it again, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Right? So the man that will be made in the image, in the real sense, will be the man in Christ. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the word here, image, will speak about a physical representation of the unseen. In their world, they use the word image to speak about, and you know how people have gods, and they use certain things to demonstrate their gods.
Mm-hmm.
You have gods, and you put an idol in your house. To, and that idol is your what? Your representation of your unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Are we here?
Yeah.
Your representation of your unseen. So the word their image is just what Salem, right? It's a word that speaks about a representation of the unseen. So what is God saying? He says, let us make man in our own image after our what?
Likeness.
So let us make, is that going to be mankind?
Yeah.
Let us make mankind in our own image after our own. Now, what will happen to them? Let them have what? Dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over the creeping things that come upon the earth. So what happens to the seven? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. What did he do? Male and female created he them. So he created male and female in what you call mankind. Are we together? Right? Look at verse 28. 1, 2, 3, go. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. And what? Subdue it. So, what is the blessedness of what God gives the man in Genesis 1:27? Be what? Fruitful. Okay? Be fruitful. Can we say to be fruitful means to what? Take possession of land?
Yes.
I'm trying to wrap up my series all through this month, okay? Yeah? To be fruitful and multiply is to what? Lines falling for you in pleasant places. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
Are you following? Is that the same thing as your seed shall be as the dust of the earth?
Yes.
Are we together? Right? So the seed that is promised in the real sense will have a multiplication. So the question now becomes, I'm going to leave this question to you. So when Moses will now say, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes.
Right? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Right? And subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Is that correct? Over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This earth, where should your mind go to?
Heart of man.
Okay. This earth in Genesis 1:27, where should your mind go to? Verse 1 and 2. Are we together? Your mind should go to verse 1 and 2. What's happening in verse 1 and 2? What is in the earth?
Emptiness,
chaos. So can we say that the use of animals is to speak and represent that which has to do with chaos?
Yeah.
Are you following?
Yeah.
Can we say that has to do with the work of the darkness?
Yeah.
Can we say that has to do with the work of the devil?
Yeah.
You following, right?
Yeah.
Right? So we are supposed to replenish the earth and have dominion. So what exactly is the dominion man is to have on the earth? Over the works of the devil. Are we together? Over the work. So which is what? What you now see in Matthew's gospel is summarized as, I give you authority to trample upon what? Snapping and scorpion. Can you put into bracket fowls of the air?
Yeah.
Beast of the whatever. Are you here?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can put in bracket fowls of the air. Right? Fish of the sea. Is that correct? And everything that creepeth. So what exactly are we doing when we're taking dominion over? We're pulling down strongholds. Yeah, so we are to have dominion over darkness and the fruits of darkness. All together. Right? So has God given a man in his image dominion?
Yeah.
Yes, dominion over what? So is man part of God's strategy to put in order in the midst of chaos?
Yes.
Is that Matthew 16? I will build my church. Is God, is man part of God's strategy in building his church?
Yeah.
So where is God going to build his church? In the midst of fish and sea. Are we here?
Yes,
fowls of the air. Serpent, scorpion. Right? Walk of darkness particularly. Are you following this day? Right? So who are you in Christ? You are a man that has been brought into God's anointed. Right? You've been brought into God's kingdom. You can say you've been brought into God's seed. You can say you've been brought into God's family. All together. You've been brought into God's family, brought into God's kingdom. Now look at Genesis chapter 3. So when you now look at Genesis chapter 3, and it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. Where will you find the activities of the serpent? In the midst of men. From the point of darkness. Is that correct? Yeah. I know also your mind shouldn't go to the word serpent as snake. Is that correct? Yeah. You shouldn't go to your mind serpent as snake. Correct? Yeah. Right? We'll look at that in days to come. Are we together? Now look at verse... Look at verse 9.
Yeah.
No. Look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was what? Naked. And I hid myself. Right? And he said, who told you that thou was what? Naked. Have you eaten of the tree? I was together, whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat. Now, we already saw that there were two trees. Is that correct? Tree of life?
Yeah.
Right? You know, what is tree of life? Tree used to speak about life.
Yeah.
So, can we say, if I can't wait to teach about tree of life, can we say life as a tree? Life demonstrated with a tree. Life in a tree. Or life in a tree will mean that the tree has life. Right? So, but if you say life as a tree, it is, we're using tree to communicate the concept of life.
Mm-hmm.
Are we together? So we're using tree to communicate the concept of good, of knowledge, of knowledge of good and evil. So God said, don't eat of this tree. How many trees did we have? If there was a tree, there was only one tree. Are we together? In not eating of that tree, you've eaten of another tree.
Yeah.
And none of the trees are literal trees. We said this over time. Now, it now says, have you eaten of the tree which I asked you not to eat of? And the man said, the man said, the woman whom thou givest unto me. So it means that when the Lord called unto Adam in verse 9, that's Adam as a man. Is that mankind?
Yeah.
Are we here? That cannot be mankind now. That's Adam as a man. That's why the lesson now says is the woman you gave me. That means the woman was not part of the call in Genesis 3. I was together, right? Hope you got that well, though. The woman was not part of the call. Don't mishear what I did not say. Oh. I mean, the Lord called Adam to that call is what I'm talking about. I say women afterthoughts. I did not say that too. Right? And the man said, the woman would get back to me, she gave me of a tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent began. Right? Right? And the said that was serpent just speaks about a diviner, divination. I was together. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou hast caused above all castle and above all people. That's not why snakes that I walk on their belly. Amen. That's not why. Okay. And I'll put, now look at verse 51 I'm going to. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt what? Bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be of thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. Is that verse 15? Thy seed. So can you see the concept of seed started from Genesis 1?
Yeah.
Bearing fruit after his own kind. All together, right? So there will be bearing fruit, and there will be the seed where there will be enmity, right? And that seed will produce a people, right? And the people that seed will produce are you and I for now, then others that will bring into the kingdom. So the man in Christ is somebody who is found in the seed that God had made promise regarding from time. So did man misbehave? Did man misbehave? Did man mess up? Did man misbehave?
Yes.
Did man reject what God offered?
Yes.
And were there repercussions?
Yes.
Was there a consequence for that?
Yes.
Now, who was going to redeem man?
Jesus.
So, how would he do that? God, through the seed, will redeem man through the work of Christ. Are we together?
Yeah.
Right? And you know that people believed that before Jesus came.
Yes.
Are we together? Mm-hmm. It's not when Jesus died and resurrected people started believing. No, no. So, it means believers are not only people who are after Christians. You know,
yeah.
People who are after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me say this, like, there was no believer before Jesus. That's not true. Did you hear that? That's not true. Right? Because they believed ahead what God was going to do. We are believing what God has done. We are both believers. They are believers. So from time, there has now been that promise of the seed. Abraham believed that it was accounted to him for what?
Righteousness.
Are we together? Did Isaac believe that as well?
Yeah.
Did Jacob believe it as well?
Yeah.
Did Moses believe it as well? Yeah. Moses did. Are we together? Did David believe it as well? Are we together? Right? And Jesus will now come. Then we now will now be in what you call the future. Right? You see, there was never a time when God accounted righteousness to man based on their works. It's always based on their beliefs. So it means that the doctrine we will have regarding law and works. See, I went under the law. They could not know Christ. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know God. They didn't know anything. Right? They were just believing. No. The truth is that they believed on what God was going to do in the earth, and that made them believers. We have believed what God has done and is doing on the earth, and that has made us what? Believers. So there was never a time that based on... So you cannot go to scripture and say, Abraham, because of his works, became righteous in the eyes of God. No. It was because of his works. His faith. His belief. So who are you? Right? Don't forget that. You are one who is now in the reality, are we together? Right? Of what God has been planning to do in the earth. You are now in the reality of what God has been planning to do on the earth. You are now in the reality of what God has been planning to do in the earth. So I'm going to chapter 5. I'll close there today. If any man what? Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a what? Is this the creation God has been trying to put in order from Genesis 1?
Yes.
Are you following? So what God has been trying to do from Genesis 1 is to allow man to be found where? In Christ, in his creation, in his seed. Is that in the anointed?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yeah.
Is that another name for that again? In the anointed, in the Christos, in the Mashach, are we together? Right? In the Messiah? In the anointed one, are we together? Right? So if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Right? All things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. And all things are of God who has what? Reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ. And had given unto us the what? The ministry of reconciliation. So who is it? Which believer on this earth does not have a ministry?
No
believer. So every believer has a ministry. So do you have a ministry?
Yes, sir.
Do I have a ministry?
Yes, sir.
So can I ask you as a pastor, how is ministry?
Yes, sir.
If I ask you how is ministry, what should your answer not be?
I don't have a
ministry. Is fine. Okay, your answer should not be first, I don't have a ministry. Or ministry is fine. And what you mean is that what? You are progressing in your career.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get that. Those people say, no, see, my life is the message. No, ma. No, sir. Your life is not the message. Your life can create an avenue for you to preach the message. But your life isn't the message. Are we together? Your life is not, Pastor, you know, this gospel Christian thing is not even just by preaching. No, I don't preach, but you see my neighborhood. I take out all the beans from my neighborhood. Nobody sent you. People pay council tax for that. Are we together? You don't need to do it. Can you do it? You can try and do it. But let it be that it creates an avenue for a conversation. But not that, that brother, I like the way he takes out my being. And I'm a Christian just like that. No. Nobody becomes a Christian by watching the conduct. So he says, if any man be in Christ, he says he has now given us a ministry of reconciliation. So what is the ministry about? Is that taking lines?
Yes.
Converting lines to be what? Falling in pleasant places? Are we together? Is that also part of taking territory? Is that taking dominion over the what? The fish of the sea, the fowl of... Is that correct?
Yes,
so that ministry God has given you,
yes,
has he given me?
Yes,
so who is a believer that doesn't have a ministry?
No.
There's no believer. What is ministry? Ministry is the work you do in ensuring that God's will is done in the earth. I'll say one more time. Ministry is the work you do in ensuring that God's work, God's will is done in the earth. Ministry is the work you do, the effort you put in ensuring that God's will, God's work is done in the earth. Ministry is what you do. What you do. What you do to ensure that God's will. What is God's will? God's will is rearranging the midst of chaos. He's rearranging darkness, ensuring that light finds its way into thick darkness. Right? And how will he do it? We'll be co-laborers with him because he has given unto us a ministry. So it means we are now priests who we serve. We are priests who we serve. It means that we will now be those who will do the work of keeping and dressing the garden. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? Keeping and what?
Dressing
the garden. What did I say that's about? And that's to speak about what? Doing priesthood, correct? That's correct. Priesthood, to speak about the work of the priest. And who is a priest? A priest is a servant. Or one who renders service. Are we together? So in the olden days, you see a priest going to the temple. What is he doing? He's rendering service on behalf. So you are a priest in God's vineyard. You are a priest in God's world. You are a priest in God's kingdom. Don't forget, God is establishing his kingdom forever. Is that correct?
Yes,
is that finished? Is that a finished work?
No.
It's what? Finished and ongoing. So God is establishing his kingdom all over the earth. And that's something he wants to do forever. So you are a member of that. He says he has given unto us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Look at verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ reconciled the world unto himself, not the pagan trespasses unto them, and he accommodated unto us the message. That's the word of reconciliation. Now let's read verse 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. 2 Corinthians 5:20. 1, 2, 3, go. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did precede you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you what? Reconciled. Are we together? Be what? Reconciled. Reconciled. Reconciled unto God. Dear saints, you know, in the coming days, ensure that you find yourself doing the work of ministry. Ensure you find yourself being on God's side. Are we together? Be on God's side. Be on God's side. Be on God's side. What is God doing? God is advancing his kingdom on the earth. That's what he's doing. You have to be in that number. You're already in that number. But you know you can be in that number and not active. You know there are Christians who are in the number and they're not active. What it is, oh what joy it is that it's a privilege for you to see that you are part of what God or who God is using in the earth to fulfill his mandate on the earth. We have to go in our generation right now. Ever, no, dear saints. The truth is that revival will only happen when men begin to act accordingly. You see, men, they go for crusade, they go for conference, they go for whatever name they call it. There's a revival in the land. There's a revival in the land. Madam, Oga, no matter how much the revival you shout is, if you don't do the work, nothing will happen. Every revival you talk about in the world were instigated, initiated by men. God has given us what we need. Remember that? He has given us his spirit, his very best. Last week. He gave us his very best so we can reach the world. Yet, in reaching the world, what is happening? We are stirring up families, stirring up hearts, bringing generations back into his kingdom. God is rearranging the earth, and we are part of his vessels being used. So in the coming days, in the coming year, ensure that you don't get yourself distracted. Okay? Ensure you don't get yourself distracted. Ensure that you don't get yourself distracted. Always remind yourself, I'm not distracted. I'm not distracted. There will be lots of news, lots of things going on the social media space, lots of things going on in your environment, lots of things going on within your family who are Christians, between your believing friends and all of that. But see, ensure that you keep your eyes fixed. Avoid distraction. You see, whatever the devil is planning to do is to ensure that God's will is not done. Are we here?
Yes,
listen to me again. Whatever the devil is trying to do is to ensure that the will is done. And the truth is, the devil can go all out. The problem is that believers, listen to this. The problem is that a lot of times, believers are not ready to go all out. But guess what? The devil is always ready.
Sorry.